Amen. Man, this is a great weekend. We just came back from our men's retreat. Guys, good weekend. Exciting, right? And today we want to share. We're doing something unique now that we've launched three services. Occasionally, we're going to have three independent experiences on Sunday morning. So the first service, I asked one of our pastors named Dwayne to come and speak, and he gave his perspective on retreat. And then the second service, I spoke. And in the third service, I'm going to ask Pastor Lucas to come up here in just a moment and share his perspective. So we're kind of giving y'all a variety of what happened. The reason why we're doing this is because I've learned that whenever people have incredible experiences, that I draw inspiration from other people's experience. Like sometimes, you know, you're just watching someone, just like when you're watching an incredible game and you see someone do something, you're like, yeah, that was awesome. And so here we were at this retreat, and even before we got to retreat, I got to tell you, I was inspired. One of our guys ruptured his Achilles a week out from retreat. And he said, I'm scheduling surgery as soon as possible so that I can get out and still make it to retreat. Now, I want you to know, my first thought would not be, how can I get this sewed up so that I can go to retreat? And I thought, man, that's inspiring, isn't it? I mean, that person knows that there is enough life change that's going to go on, and he was one of our leaders, so men were going to be depending on him, that he was willing to get that done and then crutch around a camp all weekend so that he could be a part of it. That's inspiring to me. And so today I want you to know that we had this incredible experience. It would take me forever to try to explain to you what happened, and then at the end of that day, I couldn't really make it happen. And so today we're going to share some snippets, and I hope that you can be inspired by some of the stuff that we did. For those of you that are new to our church, every year our women have a fall retreat and our men have a spring retreat. And in these retreats, we do some things, and the men do things that the women don't do, but we have challenges where we eat funny stuff, like, you know, earthworms, cow tongue, chicken foot. And there was one part where I really didn't, we kind of set it up. We didn't really test the chicken foot part, and I thought the guys would eat the meat around the chicken foot, like, you know, just like a chicken wing, it's just a foot. And then a guy, like, started biting in and chewing up the bones of the chicken foot, and he got it down. And I was like, I guess it can be done. So because the precedent was set, every team that came up, they're like, you want me to eat the bone? I was like, yes, it can be done. I've seen it. A guy did it. And so when the guys would get to the bone, they're sitting there just chewing and chewing and chewing, and it was hilarious to watch this happen. Someone looked at me and said, Tim, you enjoy this too much. And so that was my station. I really did enjoy it. And so if a team lost, they had to drink a smoothie of a concoction of all of these items with a serrano pepper and some milk added in for flavor. And so it was an incredible experience. But we do all that fun stuff because this is what I've learned over 12 years of doing Genesis Metro, 10 years of having men's retreats, is that guys tend to bond by doing stuff. And you got to add a little crazy in there to have a bonding experience, because this is what I know to be true. 10 years from now, if the people are still the same people in our church, they'll be looking at that guy and they're like, you remember when there were 8 horrible, awful things out there on that table and Jerry Karp had a team that was not really desiring to participate? And so Jerry Karp ate all 8 things on that table by himself. By himself. He did not quite get the chicken bones down. The other team prevailed, and so he did have to drink a smoothie also. So anyway, I remember one of the teams, one of our guys from GM Espanol named Jorge, an older gentleman, he was not able to participate in everything, but when it came to the shake that their team lost, the eating challenge, so he had to drink the shake, the rest of the teams were like, you know, like just kind of basically passing around, everybody like, and then a couple of people maybe lost it. And so anyway, Jorge stepped up, dude, and it was like a man. I'm going to tell you, my respect was like, woo, way up here. Because he like grabbed it, and dude, just no. I mean, all the way, like 10 ounces of pure evil he drank. Boom, gone. And I was like, he took that for his team. One guy, we had a paintball challenge. You stood about 15, 20 feet away. You got one paintball, and you got to shoot it at the other team. And they just had to stand there and take it. And they were given a shield for their face and another shield. And And it was optional on if every team wanted to take a bullet for their for the other guys, or if one guy wanted to take, and one guy out of all the teams took all 8 shots from the other team. I mean, dude, he looked like a Picasso. I mean, dude, just 8 bullets. I mean, now think about that for a moment. How awesome is it? What a great lesson. That if we're going to be a brotherhood, that there are going to be times that you have to take one for the team. And it can't always be about you. At some point, it has to be about the brotherhood. It has to be about the community. It has to be about the kingdom of God and not just yourself. And then I'll let Pastor Lucas talk about some of the things that happened with the cross. But at the end of the day, we sat around a campfire, and I asked the men, what did you get out of this weekend? And just in one statement, snippets, I heard some really great things. But one of the best things that I heard was I learned what worship was. I learned what worship was. If I could tell you something this morning, if you could learn any lesson about God, is that He created you for one purpose, and that is to bring worship and glory to His Son, Jesus Christ. If your life can be about that, and this symbol here is why He's worthy. Why He's worthy is that He hung on a cross and died for your sins. And if you can't find it in you to worship Him because of that, then something is desperately broken in your soul. And I hope today you might find healing for your soul. At this time, would you guys welcome Pastor Lucas to the stage? Pastor Lucas is our student pastor. And we have had record attendance almost like 4 or 5 weeks in a row in our student ministry and have almost 100 kids going to camp. If they got to 111, he was going to shave his beard, I was going to shave my head, and apparently we're not quite to 111. Aren't we glad? So
about 15 shy.
Pastor Lucas, students, take it away.
So, hey, I really am excited to be here this morning, and I was excited to actually get sleep last night. Unlike most of you men, I came home to my wife being out of town, all right? And so I got the kids, all right? So all of you that got rest and feel rested this morning, I don't like you right now, okay? But no, it's you don't really need rest after a weekend like that, right? I mean, you come back, you are mentally exhausted. You are physically exhausted. But spiritually, you have never had more energy, right, men? It is an incredible thing. And as Pastor Tim shared, just because you weren't there doesn't mean the inspiration that we saw can't be passed to you. Just to hear the stories that your husbands will share, to see the pictures and hear the stories that I'll tell, it should inspire and move you within your relationship with Christ. And I wasn't going to open with this one, but I really want to because this is the first year, this is the third year I've been to a men's retreat. We moved here 2 years ago in May, and so my introduction to Genesis Metro Church was men's retreat. And we stayed, so it tells you something about us, right? And this is my third year, and this year I wasn't on a team. I was on the facilitator team. We went down early, and we're the ones that made men do dumb things. And if y'all ever think I'm cruel to you, you've never seen Pastor Tim at men's retreat, okay? So don't ever complain when I do make you do things at camp, all right? And so this year, my perspective was a little different because I got to watch things happen. And I got to stand in the sound booth, and I got to stand in the back and just watch men open up and to watch men break down. And so this morning, I want to share with you what I saw and what I learned. And the inspiration that I've driven me and that I've taken from that. And hopefully it'll pour into some of you. And you can leave here this morning, even if not having gone, and be inspired by what we saw take place and by the stories we saw. For example, we saw God move in ways that I cannot explain to you. There's a family that started coming about a year and a half ago to our student ministry. And since they started coming, all three of the girls, there's 3 daughters, all 3 of the girls have been saved and baptized in this church. And this weekend, their father was saved. And so to watch that, and to watch the inspiration that came from that, and I walked up to him the last night, and I said, man, I said, I'm excited for you. I'm glad you came. And I said, I know you got 3 happy daughters at home. I said, I know they can't wait to hear your story. And he looked at me and said, it's not my story. He said, they're the ones. He said, they saved my life. The inspiration he drew from them drew him to go. And then for him to be broken and be saved and to be redeemed at camp draws me even more. As I saw so many of the fathers of the students that I pastor broken and carrying their cross and on their face in worship, I became elated because we've seen so much growth. We've doubled in size in the past semester as a student ministry. We've seen 8 students get saved. We've seen dozens get baptized. And that's all before this, right? And as I see the men of the homes be more inspired and challenged to lead their families, what could happen is limitless now. Because there's something about when a man gets broken before God. There's an inspiration that's different. Women, believe me, you are inspiring. Much of how we've changed men's retreat is because of what you do at women's. But there's just something about a grown man falling on his face before God, weeping over his family. There's something inspiring about that. And as I got to watch this, there's a couple things that I saw. The main thing was this: I saw connection. I saw men show what it means to be connected. I saw men show what it means to be connected to God. To see men pick up their cross and carry it, not caring what the weight is, right? Not caring what the burden was. I love, and Pastor Tim shared the story first service, and I'm going to steal it from him, and he'll be okay with that, because I see my man Vincent right here. And Vincent, when he could find a wheelchair, we kind of just had an understanding that he may not be carrying the cross. And then as we're all walking around, and I'll admit that ever since I got married and had a daughter, I'm an emotional wreck, okay? And I'll admit that. And so I'm already in the darkest sunglasses I have, just crying, watching fathers and husbands carry their crosses. And then we look over and we see Vincent. We see Vincent with the entire weight and burden of that cross resting on his arms while his team helped him push across this field. And what I didn't find out later was Vincent asked, he said, "Are y'all carrying this for me?" They said, "Yeah." He said, "Stop it." He said, "I want to feel the weight. I want to feel the burden." That's being connected to God. To see men who have gone 40, 30, 50 years of their life not knowing Jesus, to come to know him because of the inspiration they draw from their children, for the inspiration they draw from the people around them, that's being connected to God. If you were in here in a second service, to see 90 men come up front and to drown out the band because they're singing so loud, that's connection to God. I saw what it looked like to be connected to God, to not care about what you looked like, to not care that a muscular 250-pound man is bawling like a little girl, right? Because it doesn't matter at that moment, because it's his emotions of being connected pouring out. I saw what it looked like to be connected to God. And I saw what it looks like to be connected to community, to see men helping each other carry their burden, to see men not just help each other carry their cross, but when they were physically exhausted afterwards, to literally carry them back, for men to pick up each other and carry each other, for men to surround each other and put their arms around each other and just pour into each other. To see men connected in community and to know that's where strength is right there. Ecclesiastes says that a 3-string cord is not easily broken, right? We get our strength with each other. We get our strength in community. I saw what connection looked like this weekend. For maybe one of the first times in my life, I really saw what connection to God and what connection to community really is supposed to look like. And it doesn't have to be at a special weekend, right? That's just maybe where we draw the inspiration from. But that connection is something we should see every day. It's something that we should see every Sunday and every Monday and Tuesday and throughout the week. On the highs and lows of our life, to see and feel that connection. So what I saw was connection. And what I learned is this: that connection is necessary. What I learned is how necessary connection is in my life and in your life. As I shared in my breakout session, I've had a revelation in the last 2 years of my life since we moved to GM. Because the last 2 years of my life, while I've been the greatest, I've been the most uncomfortable 2 years of my life. And the reason is this: I realized that from birth until we moved here, I've lived on an island. Now, before you get excited and think I'm exotic, I'm not talking about like Jimmy Buffett, Margaritaville, okay? I'm talking about isolation. I didn't realize this until the past couple years that my entire life I've been isolated from community. I had friends and we had people we knew, but as I look at how I grew up as a teenager and as a child, My family wasn't connected in community to other people. We didn't have people at our house for dinner. We didn't go on vacations with people. We didn't go out with people. And because of that, when I was driving my parents to the point of exhaustion, to the point of probably being okay if I left at times, no one knew that because we weren't connected. And I took what I knew. I took that isolation that I knew, and I took it to college. And I lived by myself for 3 years in college. If you've been to college, you know the dangers of living by yourself, the pits that you can fall into, the addictions, the battles, the hangups, the problems that face you when you have no one around you to support you. And I carried that isolation into that. And then I carried that isolation into our marriage. And when we first got married, we didn't have friends pouring into us because we didn't let them that close. When we first went to Odessa as pastors, we didn't have connection. We isolated ourselves from other families. We lived on our own little Ashley Island, right? And then we came to GM. And I remember we were living in Irving when we first moved to GM, so we had about a 30, 40-minute drive. And we got a call from Pastor Tim and Pastor Kerry about 9 o'clock one night saying, hey, we want to come meet y'all. We want to have coffee. We're like, yeah, it's kind of late, but we don't really want to drive all the way over. They're like, that's okay. We're already en route. We're going to meet you over there. We're like, okay. I hang up the phone. I look at Christine. I tell her. She goes, what'd you do? I said, I have no idea. I said, if my pastor's driving 45 minutes to talk to me in the middle of the night, it's not good, right? Like, that's my experience here. And as we went and met them at Starbucks on 635 in MacArthur, they could see our nervousness, and they kind of asked. And we just kind of told them, we were like, we kind of thought we were in trouble. Like, I didn't know if I ticked off an elder or, like, what I did. I just thought, man, we're in trouble. And they just kind of laughed. They were like, no, it's not that. We just wanted to connect. We just wanted to spend time with you guys. We wanted to get to know you guys. And that was uncomfortable for me. That connection, that community was very uncomfortable for me. And it still is at times. But I would never go back to what is comfortable. Because I know the power of what community is. It's like there's a mindset that creates in men that spend the majority of their life in prison. And studies show that after a certain time frame in prison, when they're released, that freedom makes them uncomfortable. And they don't know how to live in that freedom. And because of that, I think it's called institutionalism. And because of that, many of them will commit crimes just to go back to what's comfortable. Just to go back to the hell of incarceration. Because the freedom is uncomfortable. Some of us were so comfortable in our isolation that we refuse connection. And if you refuse connection, I promise you, you will be crushed by the burdens you bear alone. When you refuse connection with God and with community, what I've learned is that I will be crushed if I don't let people help me. If I don't let people help me with my cross, if I don't let God help me with my cross, I will be crushed by it. Because we can all say that we all carry a pretty high responsibility. Men, we carry a high responsibility to try to love and to lead our wives. We carry a high responsibility to try to lead our daughters and our sons, to try to be the best we can at our jobs, to try to be perfect for everyone around us. Wives, you do the same thing, right? In all reality, yours is probably a little harder at times. Because sometimes you're the one stuck at home with a child all day long, and you just want to talk to an adult, right? You want to hear a song that's not VeggieTales, VeggieTales. You want some kind of connection at times, and that's a hard burden to carry. Students, I understand the burden to be the perfect child, to make straight A's, to be the starting person on varsity as a freshman, because that's the community we live in, to try to be perfect for all people and in all things that you do. And what I've seen that happens in my life and probably in yours is that when we strive and when we expel all of our time and energy trying to be perfect for everyone around us, when we try to take all of our time and energy to pour into being perfect for every relationship around us, there's one relationship that we fail to remember. And that's our connection with God. It's our connection with the cross. And I love in Matthew 6:33, Jesus says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, all these worries, all these burdens, everything that you are worrying about will be added to you. Later on, he says, take take my burden. Take my yoke upon you. I've quoted that verse for years, and it wasn't until this weekend as we were talking with Pastor Tim about this verse, and he kind of gave me a realization of this, because I always kind of assumed when God said, you know, take my yoke upon you, like, it's like imaginary. It's so light, you know? But a yoke is always heavy. But a yoke, if you don't know what it is, it's what is attached to two ox that pull the wagon. And it's attached to two. When Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, he's saying, let me come join it. Come join me in mine, because I'm going to help you carry it. I'm going to help you pull the weight. Because leading our families is a weight. Leading our children is a weight. Being open and being vulnerable in community is a weight at times. But when we hand that to God, when we seek first his kingdom, and when we put the pursuit of that relationship before everything else, we have him helping us carry that weight. We have him carrying that cross with us and for us. See, what I saw was connection, and what I learned is that without connection to God, without connection to community, I will be crushed. I will be crushed by the burdens I carry, by the burdens I bear, by the weight that is on my shoulders to be the perfect husband, the perfect father, the perfect pastor. Because when I spend all of my first energy on everything else, what I neglect is my connection with God. And when I neglect that connection with God, sooner or later, I'm going to run out of steam. Just like a cell phone. A cell phone giving us the ability to be connected in every way we could imagine, right? Sometimes we're too connected to it, amen? But it gives us this opportunity to be connected to everything. But every once in a while, we run into the problem when it dies. When our phone dies, it's useless to us. We don't have the opportunity to connect. We don't have the opportunity to reach out to people and to talk to people and be connected with and poured into. You can only go so long on your own without being plugged in and connected to God. You can only go so long unplugged from the Father, from his power and his strength and his authority. You can only go so long before you die exhausted and give up. We can't be the husbands we're called to be without first being connected to God. You can't be the wives you're called to be without first being connected to God. You can't be the children, the students you're called to be without first being connected to God, because you can't go long enough on your own. The power will drain if you don't stay plugged in to that source. What did I learn? I learned that connection requires commitment. That being connected to God and community requires us to be committed. I love in Hebrews chapter 10, the author says, "For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay, but my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him." But this is it. But we are not of those who shrink back. Connection requires commitment. It requires of us every day waking up and saying, today, I will not shrink back. No matter the obstacle I face, no matter what the enemy throws at me, no matter what tries to come between me and my wife and me and my kids, no matter what tries to stop me from connecting to the cause of Christ, I will not shrink back. Because if you start your day with the option of quitting, you will quit. If you enter your marriage with divorce on the table, you'll play that card. To be relentless is to be without excuses. To wake up saying, today nothing will stop me, because I'm connected to God, because I'm connected to community and the support and the power that gives me. and because I am pursuing my connection with God and the authority and the power and the strength that he gives me in that. And because I'm connected in community, and no matter what comes before me, I will have men and women surrounding me to lift me up and carry me. Because of that, I can be connected to the cause. And because of that, I can walk out every day with the mindset of, I will not be of those who shrink back. I will not give up. I will not stop. We can be connected to the cause of Christ to share the love of his gospel with all around us, showing it and telling it to everyone we meet. The vision of this church was to build a church on those who were lost. 5 men accepted Christ this weekend. Just a few weeks ago, over 30, from age 4 to adult, were baptized here. 4 weeks ago, 6 students accepted Christ in that room upstairs. That's the vision of GM. But we can't fulfill that vision unless we're connected to community, to Christ, and then we can go towards the cause. Students, women, men who weren't there this weekend, you didn't have to be to draw from the inspiration of what God did, because God isn't stationed at El Oso Ranch. He's stationed in your heart and soul, and he's there at this, in this room today, and he is with you in this way. He promises, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Just stay connected to me, and you can do all things through me. There are no limits. What sounds ridiculous to you is reality to God. What is impossible to you is possible to God. No matter what holds in your way, you can carry your cross, because God is there to help you with the weight. Church, we have a cause to pursue. We have a city that needs to know Jesus, but we can't do it if we're not connected. That's what I learned. And that's what I hope you'll learn with me today. Father God, we love you, and I don't have the words. I don't have the vocabulary to say thank you. I don't have the words. I don't have the vocabulary to help fully say what you did means to me. So instead, I'll show it. Instead, I will say every morning, I will not be of those who shrink back, but I will relentlessly push forward with no excuses in my way, with no limitations, because you are a limitless God. I will go and I will run, because you carried that cross for me so that I would not have to die with the weight of it on my shoulders. You offered salvation and life so that we may live the life we were driven and purposed and created to do. We are yours to begin with, and so we give ourselves back to you to be connected. Father, continue to inspire the men and women in this room. Continue to drive and to push us towards the cross so that we never forget what it means, so that we never forget what the weight of our sins feel like, so that we never will shrink back from the cause you've called us to, Father. Forever, Lord God. Forever you be glorified. Forever you reign in our lives. Forever we will continue to connect.